Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Day number two of our spring training live broadcast from JetBlue Park, Fenway South, and the sun is out, and I know I won't rub it in your face because it's a miserable day back home, but we will be joined by the chief baseball officer of the Boston Red Sox, Chaim Bloom, coming up in about 10 or 15 minutes.
Right around 8:30.
About 8:30 this morning, and we'll find out what kind of energy he has. Nick will lead the charge on that, and obviously, find out if he regrets taking this job.
What a dumpster fire he walked into.
But if you look at the Red Sox, I mean, isn't it one of the best jobs in baseball? Certainly, it's probably like a dream job.
Well, not only is it one of the best jobs in baseball, if there probably is anyone who can sort of like turn the ship around and that people should have faith in, it's this guy, because talk about somebody who was able to do a lot with a little. Tampa has the operating pay 40% maybe of what the Red Sox did. And look at the innovations. Heavy use of analytics, pioneering the use of the shift and the opener.
A lot of energy on the bases. A
lot of energy. No, base energy. Base guy. Energy. Yeah.
But that doesn't...
Ken, stop it.
I'll let Ken answer this, because okay. Ken is Mr. Baseball. Mm-hmm. And in fact, next year he should be on this trip.
I can stay home.
Okay. But...
Wait, who's going to pay for Twin Peaks?
Right.
Somebody else could pay next year. That's why I'm going to stay home, because I have to pay for every dinner down here.
Thank you.
Does that approach work in a big market, Ken? Well, isn't that the issue, really?
Well, I think it'll work even better in a big market. You'll have a farm system from which to trade for any big-ticket item that's out on the market. And let me ask you this, Greg. He has to go to 81 games at Tropicana Field if he's the Rays executive of choice. I mean, what kind of life is that? That's like you going to AAF every day. I mean, you want it out of it, right?
Greg, the biggest – you want to talk about the dumps. That is the biggest dump I have ever been to in my life. In St. Petersburg, terrible sight lines, awful, awful concessions, and the roof is built at a slant so they can save money by not having to over-air condition the outfield. It's a toilet. An absolute poured concrete toilet. So just being able to come to the greatest ballpark in all of baseball alone represents an upgrade for him.
But do you think that they have any indication from an ownership perspective or a management perspective how frustrated fans are because of Mookie? I mean, I think Mookie, what Mookie and David Price did yesterday, being introduced with great fanfare, seemed to enrage a lot of people.
I can't remember a time where the Red Sox have been in this position with their fan base. I mean, I'm going back to like the mid-90s when they had, you know, Jimmy Williams was around and there was the disgust about, you know, the drought with the championship. There is almost now at the point of sort of a total lack of caring about it. It's an indifference with the fan base, which is the worst place to be in. I think there's not a lot of rage. The diehards are angry, but there's not that palpable rage about a team that should have high expectations and is trading its best player away. I think that's the biggest issue with this ownership group. They don't have fans that are mad, which, because at least they're mad, they're invested.
Yeah.
Our phones aren't lighting up right now with Red Sox fans dying to get in and complain about the Mookie Betts trade.
But who do you think pisses fans off more? The Red Sox, based on Mookie, Price, Cora, lump the whole thing in together, or the Patriots if they cannot get Tom Brady re-signed?
There's going to be a lot more passion on the Patriots side with anger and frustration about Tom Brady because of the connection with the team. But that's a good thing, because you want reaction. Right now with the Red Sox, there's indifference. That is the worst place to be with an organization, because you, at least with anger, you have an investment from the fan base. There is not an investment from Sox fans right now.
Patriots fans, high energy. Red Sox fans, low energy. And Curtis is right. I can't believe Curtis and I are agreeing so much this morning. Apathy is the worst thing that you could ever get out of a sports fan, when they just sort of sit back and think, well, it is what it is. Baseball's a dying sport. It's not just the Red Sox. The whole league's kind of going to pot. No one really cares about baseball anymore. That's the worst thing from Sox ownership all the way up to Rob Manfred that you could possibly want to hear. And yet I know, Ken, it's doing well because baseball has become more regionalized than national. But at the same time, you can't sort of take a 10,000-foot view of baseball, Greg, and say, yeah, sports as healthy as it's ever been. People really kind of, like, the general sports fan doesn't care. Everyone knows who Tom Brady is. Do they care about the Mookie trade?
I mean, you're so biased, it's unbelievable. It's like you're not helping. I mean, you could go down there and stir up some energy. Instead, it's just Brady watch. No baseball,
what do you want me to
zero
do?
Baseball.
Well,
Bob Kassan,
well, first baseball of all, the sprinkles.
Baseball's too slow.
Ken,
it's
the sprinklers
like the most tired,
I can't run the bases
tired
now.
Take I've ever heard in sports talk radio.
I know, Nick is actually a baseball fan. He actually is.
I love baseball, Ken.
He does. He loves
He's also
baseball.
More of a Pats fan than a Brady fan. I mean, he's already rallied the troops around Belichick. That is going to happen. First day Brady's traded, Fitzy's going to be like, oh, it's not so bad. Oh, they got him. They'll be good. They'll be right in the mix.
Stun them.
I don't know. Were you – when Curtis's lead this morning at the start of the show was the Karen Grigian report that Belichick and Brady haven't spoken, I don't know that you were rallying around Belichick, were you?
No. What am I going to do, turn my back on the team that I've loved – that I've been watching my whole life, if the greatest player and my favorite player in football and Patriots history leaves? What am I going to do, stop being a Patriots fan?
You're on the record that you wouldn't pay Brady more than $25 million, so you want him to go. I mean, you don't want to pay
him. But I thought that was the smart deal. And for all we know, we don't know. Like, these reports of Tom Brady wanting to be paid, being embarrassed of having the 13th highest contract, Tom Brady wants to be paid commensurate to Russell Wilson and everyone else. We don't know. This is all speculation. Why? It actually kind of does go back to the Grigian thing.
Well,
we haven't heard from them.
Karen's report isn't speculation. She's saying they haven't spoken.
Right? Belichick.
Belichick has not spoken to Tom Brady about this.
Nobody knows.
And there's a month left, right? What are we theoretically, 5 weeks?
We're a month out, but in all seriousness, they should have this decision well before free agency arrives, where they have a plan at the quarterback position. And according to Grigian, nobody knows where Belichick stands regarding Brady. He hasn't expressed to the quarterback or to anybody else what he wants to do with that position. So they're all guessing.
He expressed it 3 years ago.
Right.
And which is bad news if you want Tom Brady back.
Exactly. He has shown no desire to meet in the middle with Brady, which is Kraft's desire, and I think deep down Brady's desire, that he would like, if everything was equal, to stay as the Patriots quarterback. But we're sadly past the point of no return, in my opinion.
But do you think he's in a Gronk-like situation where he has no secondary plan, or do you think that Belichick has a plan?
No, he absolutely has a plan here.
He has a plan.
I'm kind of in camp.
He has a plan, and it doesn't involve Tom Brady.
Right.
The Studham versus Dalton camp battle 2020 is potentially upon us, and that people are going to be down there. What you won't see is that famous slow mo Patriots video they put out every year of all the people just like racing to be first at camp. You're going to see a lot of people with their heads down, like, I can't believe this is what it
not.
Is.
You're such a honk. A Brady honk.
According to Ken.
You don't think the 50,000 people who go to training camp with their kids aren't going to go to training camp?
No, they're going to go, but it's not going to be the same level of passion.
They're not energy. They're going to be low energy.
Low energy. And you saw this yesterday. This is going to be going on all offseason. There was a report, anonymous report, about how much growth Jarrett Stidham showed last season. That's going to be the Patriots propaganda spin you're going to see. By the time we get to training camp, Jarrett Stidham is going to be Joe Namath.
All the throws, throws it on a line, strong arm, making pro reads, blah, blah, blah.
Mm-hmm. As long as do we have time? We actually don't. I do want to revisit Ken's lead at some point, which we discussed briefly at the start of the show, which is the ridiculous firing of Jeremy Roenick by NBC. I want to get to that in a little bit. So right now, though, we got to get to what is trending.
Weeknight 6 to 10. Now here's what's trending on WEEI.
Trending now brought to you by Red River Technology. Technology decisions are not black and white. Think red. Visit redriver.com to learn more. Sponsors of the Skate Pod, check it out. Up now with Sophia Yerkstevich of Nessun. And big guests on Dale and Keith. They've got the Razor in studio for an hour today. 12 to 1. I really love it. Bruins talk from noon to 1. And Peter King and Kendrick Perkins at 1:10. Peter King, 11:30 today. Bruins, though, a nice win last night. Hillman, 4-1. And Pastrnak, the hat trick, now at 41 goals. He's got the NHL lead back. Nick Caserio staying in New England, that is huge news as well. And what are the news cycles over the last 24 hours, Greg? Caserio staying, and Stafford and Dalton are up for trade. So, I mean, I don't doubt Karen Garigian's reporting, but Belichick knows what he's doing. I mean, he's got a plan. He doesn't not have a plan, so it's involving a trade. That's starting to come into focus. Mookie Betts and David Price donning their Dodger blue. Here's a little bit of Mookie on the West Coast.
A lot of memories in Boston. Obviously, I'd say the most fun is the World Series. But, you know, from the debuts to, you know, just ins and outs of every day being around Boston, I have so many memories. And so, you know, that was a great chapter in my life for sure.
Taking the high road for sure. And, by the way, new low for Fitzy. He calls Arizona Zona. Did you catch this a couple segments ago?
Are you a Florida or a Zona guy?
I mean, what a hard on.
Do you call pizza za?
Ken. Even through the humidity of Fort Myers, the smell of your desperation to try to get in my head is it reeks. The whole ballpark just reeks.
I think it's working.
Well, new all-time low moment for Fitzy. Did you catch this earlier today? I think he breathed into the microphone.
Are you a Florida or a Zona guy?
Zona. Zona, baby.
He's a Zona hardo. He's got a Zona bona.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Greg brought a new hat. Fitzy brought new sunglasses. Danielle brought new lips.
It's the Greg Hill Show.
Live from spring training on WEEI.
Sun shining bright here at JetBlue Park, and we are giving away a trip here at WEEI, an all-inclusive 5-night, 6-day trip for Aruba, which is probably a great place to be based on kind of some of the news that's going on.
That's
correct.
You're
going to be on an island.
Yep.
If anything needs to be shut down, then the island is the place to be.
Mm-hmm.
And all you have to do is go to weei.com/Aruba right now and enter the code word outfield. So go to weei.com/Aruba. You enter the code word outfield, and you get your chance to win the getaway to the one big happy island. You get another chance with Dale and Keefe at 12:30, and yet another chance this afternoon at 4:30 on OMF. And it is all brought to you by DV Village Golf and Beach Resort and the WEEI Sports Radio Network. So easy to win that trip to Aruba, and you get a couple other chances as the week goes along here. And we're about to be joined by the Chief Baseball Officer of the Boston Red Sox, Chaim Bloom, nice who's making his way in here and ready to answer the hardball questions that I am going to deliver this morning. By the way, what do I have, 20 years on you? How old? What are you, 30? What are you?
I'm 36.
36. Yeah. 53. So I mean, I'm wiser and older. But I mean,
no, I don't doubt that.
You're older.
Well, so how you feeling being here with this organization here in beautiful Fort Myers?
You know, you may not believe me when I say this, but it's been great.
It's been great so far?
It really has. It's a great organization.
You didn't
really
think about turning around and and driving down the road here when you arrived?
No, you know what? I was joking to people. I just got to remember to go to Fort Myers instead of Port Charlotte.
Yeah.
But there was so much going on still on Monday morning when I drove down here. That, you know, I was so locked in on all these other things flying through my head that I missed the Port Charlotte exit anyway. And by the time I realized it, well, I thought I might as well, you know, go to Fort Myers now.
But you must have imagined what you would be focused on at the beginning of the start of this job differently than what it has ended up being.
That's fair to say.
Yeah.
Yeah, that is fair to say.
Well, I'll get some of the tough questions out of the way, and then we can go. Or do you want easy first?
It's up to you. Easy first has not been the way that this job has gone so far.
Right.
Yeah. So when it comes to kind of Major League Baseball and what's coming from them, may or may not be coming from them from a discipline point of view, have you had the opportunity to kind of get in deep to the organization and try to discover things that you may need to know that may or may not have gone on here?
Yeah, I mean, you know, for the most part, obviously, you know, I certainly when you get in an organization, you want to understand everything you can about it. But as far as the investigation, I think Major League Baseball obviously has the ability to do that on a much larger scale than we do. And that's exactly what they're doing. And our job is really just to fully cooperate with what they're doing. You know, we've been doing that, and you know, it obviously is there, and it's kind of looming over the organization in a sense. But on a day-to-day level, I don't think it's interfered that much with a lot of the things we're trying to do.
Is there a feeling with you or with ownership that, you know, depending on how this goes, that there may be an opportunity to get Alex Cora back here?
You know, it's funny. I've heard that a lot. I've heard that a little bit over the last couple of days, but that hasn't even been a thought. You know, that's been out there, but no, that's not a consideration. And you know, obviously, you know what the decision that we made with Alex, that was really as a result of the 2017 report, and obviously everything there is still there. So, you know, I don't see how, you know, anything that's going on with our organization would change that.
I noticed you removed all trash barrels from the park. Is that a preemptive thing that you guys have?
You just got to take all the extra precautions as you can. You know, you got to build the culture, send the right message. You know,
you can't find a trash barrel in the place.
Yeah, anywhere. There it is. Gone. Right.
So coming from Tampa, where a lot of the innovations, it seems, that you brought to the team and then the game were largely based out of, I'm guessing, financial necessity because you were operating with a smaller payroll, so you couldn't afford lavish stars and bigger contracts. Will a lot of the same styles and innovations you brought there apply here to working with the Red Sox, or are you going to have to sort of like adjust your philosophies and principles?
You know, I think they can. I mean, I think the restrictions that we worked under with the Rays, I think, forced us to be more creative. But what we've seen, I think, over the last 5-10 years in the game, which is honestly, it's the scariest thing for small market clubs, is when large market clubs take those principles and apply them. We weren't really over there looking to define ourselves by our limitations. We had those limitations. It forced us to be more creative. But at the end of the day, we were just trying to win as many games as we could with what we had. And every team should be trying to do that. So if there is something, you know, when the players take the field, there's no dollar signs, right?
Right.
It's just a game of baseball. So if there's something that can help you win a game in a smaller market, it should be able to help you win a game in a larger market. I think the difference here, obviously, is that, you know, when you are doing things right, you have more resources, you have more options, you should be able to create more options to help you win. But a lot of the things that with the Rays have helped, you know, over the years to eke out those extra 2, 3, 4 games over the course of the season that could be the difference between making the postseason and not, there's no reason why any club can't find their way to similar innovations regardless of the market size.
I think a lot of fans were frustrated yesterday seeing Mookie in that Dodgers uniform. Do you feel like you did everything that you could do as soon as you got this job to find a way to keep him?
Yeah, I mean, you know, and I said it and meant it that it would have, you know, it's something that we really would have liked to have done. But, you know, at the end of the day, when you look at our job at the end of the day is, you know, hopefully, you know, for a long, long time is we have to win as much as we can. And that isn't just a 2020 thing. That applies in 2021 and 22 and beyond, and hopefully for the next 5-10 years and even beyond that. And, you know, when you, in order to do that, you need to really use your resources well. You need to maximize everything you have. And when you look around the game, it doesn't matter what market size you're in, what the, what your resources are. If you don't have a sustainable talent base at all levels of the organization, not just on your major league roster, but in your farm system, you know, guys that you can grow with, waves of talent coming through. If you don't have that, eventually it catches up to you, regardless of how much money you have. So that has to be a priority also. And so we have to weigh all those considerations. You know, I obviously it's tough. I know it's tough, you know, and I know it's this may sound hollow coming from me. I get that because I'm new here. But I know what it feels like to be really attached to a player and then to see that player wearing another uniform. I fully understand that. And it's not that we as an organization don't feel that as well. We just, you know, our job at the end of the day is to say what path for us do we think is going to allow us to win the most over the next 5 to 10 years? And this, we thought, fit into that.
So you guys do feel and understand the frustration of fans.
100%.
Yeah.
Yes, I would feel it too. And, you know, again, in the organization, Mookie means so much to people in the organization. You know, and especially within baseball operations, I think it is a credit to the focus of the baseball ops department that people who have those very strong ties to him and those very strong emotions.
Do you feel like Do you feel like he had those same ties?
I do.
Do you feel like Mookie in his heart wanted to stay here, or do you feel like he really preferred to have the opportunity to test the free agent market?
Well, I don't want to speculate what his feelings are. It's not really appropriate for me to do that. But everything that I heard about him, everything that I got from him in the conversations we had, I believe, you know, everything he says that he loves it here. And
David Price, not so much.
You know, I think David, it was more obvious there were some ups and downs. And I know David, but I also think, you know, I said it, you know, when we announced the trade, at the end of the day, when it mattered the most, he put this team on his back, and that will always be the case, and he's always got that. And he is, I mean, I've known him for a long time. He is one of the greatest competitors I've ever known. It doesn't shock me that when he had that opportunity in that moment, just like he did for the Rays in 2008 against this club, he rose to the occasion.
You do any online gaming with him? I mean, you can still keep that going.
No online gaming.
You're not a
Fortnite. Maybe my kids get older. If they start doing it, I might have to do it just to, you know, stay in their lives. But we're not there yet.
What does he have time to do any online games?
Yeah.
He's got kids. He's helping run a multi-billion-dollar baseball team. Come on. But is there a – well, first I wanted to ask, were you at all able to enter into the negotiations with Mookie, or had they gone down a road to a point where there really wasn't much you could do by the time you got to the Sox?
Well, you know, I would never want to get into details of negotiations with him or any player. What I would say is this, you know, when you have a star player who's getting close to free agency, you know it's going to take a really significant commitment to retain that player.
Right.
And, you know, those commitments obviously have upsides that are both obviously performance upside and also emotional and, you know, cultural upside for the team, for the fan base. They also have risks, and you have to assess that within the context of where your organization is at, what the rest of your talent base looks like, and how you think it's going to fit into, again, using everything we've got to win as much as we can over the long haul. So I think all those things factor in
sure.
to that kind of decision.
And then it's got to be a little frustrating, though, to a certain degree, to see contracts getting the size that they are, of like what Rendon got with the Angels, you know, the deal last year that Bryce got in Philadelphia, versus like what you were able to do in Tampa, because you got somebody like Blake Snell to agree to a deal that I think a lot of us thought at the time was well below what he may have been able to get if he were to make it to market. A 5-year, $50 million deal for a top-line starter is seen by all accounts to be an absolute steal. And it just doesn't seem like you see that anymore. How'd you pull that off?
Well, the context is a little different because with Blake, you know, he was still a year shy of arbitration. So really the only, you know, that those contracts that get signed early in players' careers are really more, I think, kind of risk sharing between the club and the player, where the player is willing to trade off a little bit of upside for some security. And with Blake, he was giving up control over one free agent year, but still had the ability to go out and hit the market mm-hmm. at a young age. So for him, you know, I don't want to speculate what was everything that was in his mind, although, you know, we did talk about it. But, you know, a player still a year away from arbitration, you know, he has a chance to achieve some real major financial security for him and his family and still delay his free agency by only a year. You know, that was a trade-off that made sense for him. And obviously the dollars made sense, you know, for us over there at the time. So I think it's a little bit different from free agent contracts.
Mm-hmm.
Look, you know, in this game, you know, the great players deserve to be compensated well.
Sure.
And when they hit free agency, they have the right to, They have the right to whatever their value is, and they have the right to determine where they want to play. So I think the context is a little different in those early career extensions.
Yep.
Report this morning that Chris Sale has the walking pneumonia.
Yeah.
Yay.
Yeah. Add that to your list of things.
Yeah, it was, you know, it's funny. I can't remember exactly what day it was that I found out, and you know, Brad Pearson sends a text that says Chris Sale has pneumonia, and I'm like, of course he does. This is what else is going to happen?
I don't know if you know, but it's going to rain frogs and locusts later.
Yeah, the plagues are coming.
Exactly.
So you guys, what do you do? You just help him get better and wait for him, right?
Basically, I mean, you guys know Chris, and you know how much he wants to be out there, and so. He took a baseball home with him, and he's thrown at his house. But there's only so much he can do, so it is going to slow him down a little bit, which is a shame because he's been doing great physically in every other respect. So obviously, when he is able to get back to the ballpark, and we're hoping to see him back here tomorrow, we'll see where he's at. Make sure we're getting him back in the swing of things appropriately. It's a bummer because just from a scheduling standpoint, it does slow him down, but. It's something that obviously will pass.
The chief baseball officer of the Boston Red Sox, Chaim Bloom, is our guest. Without Price, how do you approach kind of this pitching staff?
Yeah, it's certainly a hole that we'll need to fill. We did spend the winter trying to acquire a lot of different depth options that we think have upside for us that we're going to get a look at this spring, a lot of different guys that could fill in and give us innings. And we're going to continue, we want to make sure to look at them and get our arms around what they can do, see how that shakes out in addition to the guys that were already on hand. And we're going to continue to look around, the game of baseball to see if we can add to this pitching staff.
And when you hired Ron, you announced that he was officially the interim manager. Yesterday, 2 days ago, I believe, were stability and familiarity key contributors to announcing Ron as manager?
It was energy.
That certainly played into it, but it wasn't the only factor. I said this at the press conference when we, found ourselves in this situation, as a result of the Astros investigation where we were with Alex, of course, we step back and we take a look at, what do we want? To do with this opening. And there was, as you guys know, a lengthy process and a lot of due diligence in that process, both on Ron and on other candidates. And for me, it was especially important because I'm new to the organization and I was able to pick up some things about Ron from the people that have worked with him. But, I also called around to a lot of people that I know in baseball. And of course, Ron's had a very long and distinguished coaching and managerial career, and I was able to pick a lot of different brains, and I had people whom I know well, who I trust, unsolicited reach out to me. So it painted this picture that I already kind of had by the time we sat down for a real formal interview with him. Then everything kind of fit together. The stability, the familiarity certainly helps. I mean, that's so important. And also knowing that he does not have to come in here and earn the respect of our clubhouse. He already has that respect. But then you find out who he is as a person, his demeanor, the things he believes in baseball-wise, the feel he has for the game. It was a really flattering picture that, people around the game will paint of Ron Renicki. And then talking to him for a number of hours, as we did when we interviewed him, made me even more impressed.
You don't strike me as somebody who makes impulse purchases or just like you know what, I'm just going to hire Renicki today because why
sure,
not, right?
Sounds good.
Pretty thorough.
Usually try not to. I mean, sometimes timetables dictate different things. Sometimes, like, if you go to the supermarket when you're hungry, then you end up making a lot of impulse purchases.
You get Bobby Valentine.
Later. Yeah.
Come on, that's not fair, Greg.
Wow.
Welcome to Boston, my
man.
Well, were you worried about Boston? I mean, there's some players, there's some managers who can handle it. Were you worried at all about the pressure from the media or the demands from the fans?
Maybe I should have been, but I was actually just excited about them. I think, look, and I'm not just saying this like it's something special about me compared to a lot of other people who do what I do. We're competitors, and we want to win and succeed so badly, and we take what we do so seriously that it would be very hard for somebody else to add more pressure than I think we all put on ourselves to excel. So just the fact that people care so much is awesome. This is a tiring business. The last month, believe me, has been very tiring.
Are you like a Belichick in at 5, out at midnight guy? Or
usually at 5. If I'm not asleep, I'm trying to fall back asleep at 5. No, I'm not.
The past
month, and really the past 4 months for me, have been a little atypical. You know, my family's still in Florida. I've been spending most of the time in Boston, so I've probably been living a more unhealthy lifestyle than I hope I will live when we get the family up. In this game, you're kind of always on, but I also think, especially now with the means we have to communicate with each other, phones, you know, what have you, it's much easier to allow people personal freedom when they have to be at something with their family. If something's it's important, you know, for all of our staff to have, you know, real lives. I think it's going to make them better at their jobs if they can get some perspective. So you got to try to model that for them.
You've been around Major League Baseball a long time. You know, you're only 36. When you look at sign stealing in general, it seems to me to be something that everybody's trying to do. What were you guys doing in Tampa? Where do you end up looking at what happened with when technology gets involved? How bad is this? There are some who say, you know, what's the big deal? It's like technology filtering into something that's already being done.
Yeah, a lot of the technology that's coming in the game, there's no question about it. It kind of created a monster a little bit. And I think the important thing is you got to play within the rules. I mean, it's pretty simple. Look, there's things that people have been doing since the game started on the field to try to get an advantage that takes some ability, but they're still within the rules. And when you play the game of baseball, you have to, you know, make sure you're protecting yourselves against those things. But if something goes outside of the rules, that's not acceptable. It shouldn't be acceptable. And, you know, I know that now there's this topic, and, you know, the commissioner said that he's going to explore, different considerations around the use of video. Whatever the rules end up being, we have to play within the rules. It's really simple.
And do you feel like the Red Sox were playing within the rules here?
Well, just because of the investigation, I don't want to say. I don't have any reason to think that anything
you must have asked
went on.
You must have asked the question when you got here.
You know, so you always. Again, what I will say is I don't have any reason to think anything went on. But again, I'm careful what I say just because I do want to respect the investigation.
Yeah.
And you know, I think we have to respect it. But I will say this, two things on this topic. One, I think when you were competing against other clubs, you were always wondering, what are they doing? It's natural to wonder that when you're competing against people.
Yeah.
That doesn't mean that you're paranoid. Sometimes there are things going on, as we saw.
Were you wondering it about the Astros when you were...
There was so much out there on them that it was impossible not to wonder.
Yeah.
Just because, you know, as has kind of come into the news, it was an undercurrent, you know, within the game that stuff was going on there.
Yeah.
But you also try... You know, you try to put it out of your mind. The last thing you want is for your players to feel that when they're playing, because it's just going to make them play worse. They're not going to be free and easy. At the end of the day, it's not something they can control. And, you know, every team, regardless of what they may or may not be doing, even the Astros, they're beatable. Every team is beatable. This is baseball, and you got to put that stuff out of your head and just go play.
I'm going to let Mr. Baseball back in Boston ask a question. Ken, I know you're chomping at the bit.
Well, I wanted one more Mookie question, if I could. The question is, when you went into the offseason, did you expect to get a deal that was going to make trading Mookie worth it? What were your expectations of the market, and then how was the market?
Good question. I actually did not. And, you know, I said, and I think I said multiple times throughout the course of the offseason, that I expected that he would be here. And I guess for anybody, that should be your default expectation. But we, in our minds, were setting a really high bar. It wasn't, you know, a situation where we were going to shop him. We basically, you know, and I felt it was really important coming in here that, you know we have this task to make this roster more sustainable but still competitive. If we're going to do that, we're going to have to be creative. We're going to have to look at a lot of different options. There's nothing we should rule out of hand. So we were certainly going to be open on him, as we would be with anybody. But I didn't necessarily expect, you know, just knowing he's such a great player, so important to the franchise, that somebody was going to meet that bar. And, you know, obviously everybody can come to their own judgments as to whether, you know, what we got, you know, did meet that bar. But in our minds, you know, we felt it was something we needed to do.
You addressed this in your opening press conference down here, but I want to ask again. A lot of talk about kind of the character issues with regard to Verdugo. Are you confident that you guys have done enough research on him and feel comfortable with him as a player, as an individual.
Yeah, we wouldn't have acquired him if we didn't, you know, feel that way. And, you know, every player, especially young players, they all need different types of support systems. You know, they all, you know, mature to some degree as they go along. And it's on us, you know, to make sure we understand everything we can about that player. Obviously, there are instances where you might learn something about a player that you just think is disqualifying, where you don't want to acquire that player. That certainly was not the case with Alex. But with any player, you come in saying, okay, how can we best support this player? And that means something different for everybody. But we as an organization need to make sure that we're putting our arms around him, that we're putting him in the best position to succeed, that we're helping him, that we're giving him support, that we're giving him tough love when he needs it, whatever it may be. But I think we're really well equipped to do that as an organization.
On the subject of players that you got in return for Mookie, so fans can become a bit more familiar with them. One, Connor Wong, would you say that he's kind of cut from that Blake Swihart cloth, but could play the outfield because he's played the infield before. A lot of versatility, can catch. And two, do you think Jeter Downs may make the opening day roster, or do you think he's going to be ticketed for the minors?
Yeah, so I'll take those two questions in the order you asked. And
Thank you. So
with Connor, I think that there are a couple guys, and actually the Dodgers have one in Austin Barnes who is a similar mold where, you know, Barnes was actually an outfielder that converted to catcher, but you know, now plays the infield. But, you know, Connor was an infielder, still does play some infield. And a lot of good catchers came from other positions. It's a really tough position to fill, as we all know. And a lot of catchers are converted infielders or, you know, more often infielders than outfielders. And it requires, you know, usually the guys that do well back there, they just because most catchers don't run very fast, people think they're not athletic, but the good catchers are really good athletes. They have to be back there.
And sometimes make great managers.
Indeed. Yes. Yeah. And so it takes a good combination of, you know, athleticism and makeup and brains. And, you know, he could be that sort of a player. He's always had a good head on his shoulders, always had a good offensive approach. He started to hit for more power, and he is a good athlete. He's still, you know, even as he was catching with the Dodgers, he would still play second and third on occasion, and that just demonstrates the type of athlete he is.
Red Sox CBO Chaim Bloom is our guest this morning here in Fort Myers. What does Verdugo wearing 12 say about Brock Holt? This came up earlier this morning.
You know, it's actually funny. To show you how little that says about Brock Holt, I never did in my old job, and generally don't hear try to get involved in uniform numbers. And I think sometimes it was funny. I was having a conversation with you know, Tommy, our clubhouse guy, about it was noticed, and I didn't get to your question about Jeter, but Jeter was put in between, I can't remember who it was, two of our veterans,
right?
And people said, well, usually, you know, the non-roster guys are at the far end of the clubhouse, and he's in between two veterans. What are they saying? And Tommy was like, it was just the only open locker we had,
right? Yeah.
So, you know, I the number stuff I don't you know, get involved in.
Yeah. But that says nothing about Brock Holt.
No, nobody should read anything into that at all.
And you can go ahead and answer the Jeter question.
And do you think that he'll be with the opening day team or perhaps down
that America? That seems too aggressive to me. Just he finished the year, you know, he got to Double A at the end of the year and obviously performed really, really well there. But it still was just a relatively small taste of Double A. So I think it's fair to say he needs a good bit more seasoning in the minor leagues. But, I mean, what an impressive season. And, you know, you never like to put limits on players. But I also, this is one of the things that was very important to me when, you know, I was involved in player development with the Rays is as much as you can, you don't want to rush guys. There's no shortcuts in this game, and usually if you try to take them, it ends up getting you on the back end. So you want to make sure you do it right.
And short and third are already manned by some pretty awesome
guys.
Yeah, that too.
But the main thing is we got to do what's right for Jeter Downs, what's going to make him the best big league player. And, you know, we got to make sure we're not trying to shortcut that.
How often do you interact with John Henry or this ownership group, or is it mostly Sam Kennedy?
Well, you know, Sam is obviously around the office on a daily basis. You know, John and Tom generally are not, but there is a lot of interaction, you know, whether by email, text, phone. It varies depending on what's going on. Obviously, those guys have many different things that go on in their
day-to-day. Is there like a special phone, like the bat phone, when John Henry is like when he's calling from the yacht or something?
As far as I know, it's just a regular
cell phone.
I've never asked him. It seems like just a regular cell phone.
I don't know if like a big alarm goes off or something when he's calling in to the. There's nothing like that.
No. And I don't even. I don't have special ringtones or anything like that. Maybe I should. I don't know, but I don't.
Are you? How are you adjusting to Massachusetts life? I mean, I guess it's similar to Philly. You know, people are kind of focused on what they have to do. May not be offering a hello or extended courtesy.
You know what? That was what I was used to. I mean, you guys know Philly. It's not exactly people aren't exactly walking down the street giving each other hugs. It was when I moved to Florida that I was looking around and saying, "Why is everybody being so nice?"
So weird. Yeah.
So it's honestly like I had to kind of readjust a little bit to New England winter, but I think I'm more or less there. And
we don't have to grease our light poles down if we win a
right.
Super Bowl. Here.
Right. So if you want to ask me, you know, how if I was worried about, you know, Red Sox fans, again, maybe I should be, but just remember I come from Philly.
Right.
Yeah.
Are you an Eagles fan?
You know, I grew up one, but over time, and you know, honestly, my friends back home would probably, you know, I don't think I've even admitted this to them, but over time, it just sort of diminished to where I became more neutral. And I'll be honest, with the Rays in 08 when we were playing the Phillies in the World Series, the experience of being surrounded by all those fans, really there's this sort of scar on my feeling about all Philly sports. So I'm sort of, as it comes to football, you know, kind of open-minded at the moment. My father-in-law, my wife's from the Boston area. She's from Lexington, and my father-in-law is an enormous Pats fan, which is actually helpful because it gives me kind of a window into the psyche of the New England sports fan just through talking to him.
I mean, when you start to get down on all the things that you have to deal with in this job, it could be about signing Tom Brady or not signing Tom Brady. Like, think about if you had to get if you had to try to get that done.
Yeah, but so, you know, I sort of live the ups and downs of the Pats through him because it really does affect his mood. You know, he watches every game in the same place with the same three guys and has for decades.
So, Chaim, we're big on food on this show, and I use the term big quite literally. And I know that you are a devout follower of Judaism, and there's a story about a jar of gefilte fish that you had purchased sometime around Passover in 06, and you kept it in your office in Tampa Bay, and you had said you would eat it if the Rays ever won the World Series.
Well, so I didn't say I would eat it. It works over there that I was unfamiliar with it.
Okay.
And I, you know, I found when I started my baseball career, sometimes depending on who it is, you might be the first, you know, observant Jew that they've met. And
right.
So you have some things to explain and people are very curious. And, you know, so during Passover, I was eating gefilte fish, which is disgusting, by the way.
Yeah, it's gross.
But you do it.
I was eating this and I had a jar of it just in the office, an unopened jar. And he said, "What is that?" So I explained to him and he said, "That sounds awful." I said, "It is awful." But so he said, "You know what? If we win the World Series, I will eat that jar." So it's actually my former colleague.
Interesting.
I'm not going to name him on, you know, on the radio, but he promised to eat it.
So now did the jar make the trip to Boston?
Right now, no, but it will.
Okay. And then have we set a new standard for consumption?
So yeah. I this is something, you know, you're talking about like the video replay stuff.
Right.
I don't know if the commissioner has time to make a ruling on this. We might have to ask him about that. But I actually think the way I view it, I think it kind of gives me more options because, you know, in the unfortunate event, should the Rays win the World Series, I could still make him eat it.
Right.
We'll at least have that going for us.
Yeah. Which is good.
And,
but
you know,
can start over here.
If we win, I might also be able to make him eat it. So now I got more ways to make this guy eat this 12-year-old jar.
You might want to start with if we go 500.
ye of little faith.
What?
He's right here.
Greg.
First of all, I think I have a little more optimism than you do. But second,
thank you.
That should not be the bar
for opening that. World Series or bust.
Come on.
It's got to be.
This is a championship city.
That's on you. But you think, I mean, Nathan Eovaldi was on the show yesterday talking about how he thinks that this team could be better than we think it could be. I mean, you feel that same way?
I do. And part of what makes me feel that way is obviously, but prior to coming here as an opponent, we kept very close tabs on the Red Sox. And we felt that the Red Sox in 2019 were a lot better than their record. And just a lot of things didn't go their way. Now, there's some reasons for that. Some of it was just the way the ball bounces. You know, and just like the year before, everything seemed to go right. Sometimes you have one of those years where things seem to go wrong. And some of them were things that we tried to address, like depth. You know, with the Rays, that was something we placed a premium on. And I think you look at, you know, Yankees, Rays, Red Sox in the American League East last year, and those teams finished, they all had a ton of injuries. They finished in the order of how their depth stepped up. The Yankees obviously got incredible seasons out of guys like Talkman and Urshela and goes on and on and on. And with the Rays, we were very proud of what a lot of our, you know, depth, both guys that we had acquired from outside the organization, players from within the farm system, how they stepped up. And with the Red Sox, it was lacking a little bit. So we've tried to address that over the course of the winter. But mainly, I think that, you know, even after this trade, the true talent level in that room downstairs is a lot better than 84 wins last year. So, you know, and I know...
Even with the subtractions?
Yeah, even with that.
Okay.
Obviously, that pulls it a little closer, but... you know, even with those subtractions, I think it's a more talented team than 84 wins. Obviously, that doesn't guarantee anything. You guys have seen it over the years. You've seen teams that were built to win the World Series finish last, and you've seen a team that got written off actually win the World Series. There is a lot of crazy stuff can happen over 162, but you know, my faith in that the talent level of this team is not just based on being a member of the Red Sox. It was something that I felt as an opponent, you know, even before I got here, that, you know, even looking at it at the end of the 2019 season, before I had any idea that I was going to be in this job, I thought, you know what, that's still a good team. They just had a bad year, but that's a good team.
All right. Well, maybe we'll make a bet when it comes to the fish. I mean, we can
tell you what, make the playoffs. I'll chug a jar of gefilte fish.
All right.
You heard it here first.
You heard it here first. So you're on the record.
And if they don't, you're taking us all to a deli. Have you found a good deli up here?
No, there have been times in Boston where there have been like days on it, because I've been, you know, staying pretty close to the ballpark. We haven't really moved yet. Where I've had like a week where I haven't even left like a 2-block radius of Fenway Park. It's like I said, it's not the greatest way to live. So eventually, I got to get out and. Boston's
a great
city and a really good food city, and mm-hmm. I got to learn about that.
You got to hit Michael Stanley in Brookline.
Yeah,
okay. Ask Steven.
Go to Michael's, right?
Ask
down
tremendous.
Yeah,
okay.
Right,
yep.
Down the street from the ballpark. Okay. All right, Chaim. Well, listen, right. thanks for joining
Thank
us.
You.
Thanks for having me.
Pretty
on.
Good. I mean, a few hard balls, but
yeah,
I mean,
yeah. you did well.
It wasn't bad, right? I
mean, you guys are friendly but tough. I would say that.
Friendly but tough. All right, that's fine. All right, that's good.
Good energy. Or maybe it's tough but friendly. I don't know.
Tough but friendly.
Kind of like Greg's steak last night.
All right, we got to take a break, but we will be back from Fort Myers.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and 3-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
The Greg Hill Show.
Live from Red Sox spring training in Fort Myers, Florida.
He's brought to you by Arbella Insurance.
And by your New England Honda dealers, featuring the award-winning Honda CR-V.
Nothing more interesting than Red Sox fans weighing in on Chaim Bloom and the interview that he just did. What's that, Curtis?
State-run media.
Yeah. Well, I get a lot of feedback that people really like the guy, and maybe they're going to give him a chance. I mean, that'll end if they're 500 in September. But
I mean, who the hell knows what he's going to do as a chief of baseball operations, but that was pretty impressive.
Impressive from a perspective of just his measured communication skills?
Well, from a very personal perspective, he is my age, and I don't know how to talk like that. So that was impressive. And he just seemed like he was prepared, like this wasn't too big of a job for him. That was my impression from listening to him.
Yeah. A texter says to say that David Price put the team on his back is a drastic overstatement. But, I mean, people were – that's Boston in a nutshell. People were happy with Price at that time.
Also, do we want to kill management? We used to kill the Red Sox because they'd always bury players when they left town.
Yeah.
So now they're trying to say the right thing and be overly generous to a guy. Now we're going to say they're lying. I mean, you can't win.
Here's a text. Nick, you'll appreciate this turn of a phrase.
Yes.
Color me impressed by Chaim. Sounds honest.
All right.
Yes, that was the first thing I said to Curtis and then to you. I'm 100% in on Chaim Bloom.
Who aren't you 100% in on this general sports community?
The guy,
Honk.
He works at Baseball Walmart. He gets handed the keys to Baseball Saks Fifth Avenue, and in the first month or two that the guy's here, he has to deal with a cheating scandal, the dismissal of a very popular manager, and then has to trade away one of the 10 best players to ever wear the uniform. This guy has been baptized by fire already and was out front and accountable during the whole interview.
And your Blake Snell question. God, is that awesome?
Nick likes the five-part questions.
Yeah.
I've noticed.
Yeah. I have a 16-part question for you, Chaim, if you could just stay on with us.
You have a plan between now and Thursday.
Ken, it's interesting. Thank you. That was a good try, by the way. It's interesting because he's got a guy like Devers, who they would probably love to be able to sign early and avoid the arbitration years or free agency, and it's difficult to pull that off. You don't see a lot of players anymore taking these pre-arbitration deals like that when a guy like Snell could go to the open market and make three times that.
I mean, you see that all the time. He had 3 years of control left. I mean, he let you down easy. It was a terrible question. You compared it to Mookie. It's not even close to the Mookie situation.
Danielle, this is a text from a woman.
Yes.
Calling Chaim a smoke of a man. Would you compare that to Nathan Eovaldi?
They're both very good-looking men. They have different looks about them.
Uh-huh.
So
I see.
Just in what you like.
So it's a pick'em.
Yeah.
That would be
basically that's a pick'em.
That would be a pick'em for you.
Yeah.
Let's see. Seems very smooth, deliberate, and measured in his comments. However. Is good at not giving further information when pressed secondarily.
Well, Boston fans hate management that doesn't give a lot of information. They really rip Belichick all the time. I mean, what do you want from the guy? Tell you what exactly he's going to make in his next move?
Yes. Transparency.
Sounds like pretty much everybody knew what the Astros were doing, though.
Wow, that's a huge
takeaway. Don't you think?
Yeah.
I mean, it's got to piss you off so much if you're actually somebody who's trying to do things the right way. I mean, if you believe that anybody was trying to do things the right way, then it must piss you off when everybody knows that what the Astros are doing.
And how pissed are you if you're Alex Cora right now? They put him as the guy behind this whole operation right when that news broke from the Evan Drellick story and the rulings were out. AJ Hinch was saying he wanted no part of it and that this was Alex's thing. And then the Wall Street Journal comes out after they've handed out the suspensions. And it says that it went all the way to Lou now, that they were all well aware of this dating back 2 years prior. And so how can the league not go back and repunish the team?
I noticed you were very self-conscious about where to stand during that interview.
No, trust me. Trust me, I've got another outsider picture.
Oh, you do?
Oh, yes. What's he going to do? Like, he went in the other room.
I can bring another chair in.
Or just take a walk.
Go outside. I don't want to take a walk. If something goes wrong, then Greg's saying, where's Curtis?
Ready? Hold on. Here comes Ken. 3, 2, 1. Yeah, Fitz, you could ask another Blake Snell question. Thank you. All right, at least. End scene, Greg.
I guess if you're a Brock guy, you got good news about Brock, right?
That a decision hasn't been made.
That it hasn't been made. Mm-hmm. I mean, I guess that's reasonably good news if you think he's a clubhouse guy. I mean, people feel like people were saying earlier. Were you saying earlier that Sox ownership management is out of touch if they don't realize that Brock Holt ought to be on this
team? I said I thought he would have a spot on the team given his value and versatility, and Curtis would follow that up with, yes, this is a super popular player who the fans love, and right now they could use a little bit of that.
Right. I think he's a guy that's huge in the community. He's the captain with the Jimmy Fund. You talked to Lisa Sherber over there, and they absolutely love him. It would be a good guy to keep around, but it doesn't look like that's the case.
Let's see. Ken Texter wants to know how you feel about the Cora not returning comment that he made.
Yeah, but he kind of spun it to this year. We know that. Next year's the question. He avoided that, I thought.
You think he avoided it?
I thought so, yeah.
I think it sounded like he's moved on.
That's it. That's the feeling that I got, Ken. Like that
that isn't in the discussion. You really think that this is just a one-year deal?
But they don't want to put that over Renicki's head. If he says, you know, we're considering it or anything like that, that's just submarining your manager. So he can't say that.
All right, we are going. Are we going to what's trending?
Not quite yet, but boy, right, it'll be good.
We will.
Oh, Vince, Blake,
you got
Snell.
Got some more Nick audio coming up during trending.
Yeah.
Yes.
Oh,
all right. Yes. All right. Excellent. Hey, what happened to your Florida Not Like the Rest of Us guest?
His phone keeps going straight to voicemail. We're still trying to get in touch with him, so I don't know if maybe Leonard is just sleeping in on a Thursday.
Didn't
or
pay the T-Mobile bill.
Maybe it's possible. You know, ran out of prepaid minutes. We don't know.
Maybe.
So we're going to keep trying.
Maybe interviewed on Live PD or something like that.
It's possible.
All right. More to come from Fort Myers, Florida next.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.